Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, hey, boys.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, it is. Mokarem Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. And this is my kind of party with my kind of people, baby. Christian's Tailgate. The Energy Corridor location, 1010 Highway 6. Come on through, hang out. There's been a nice crew, nice flow of folks in here drinking cold beer and eating mud bugs since we got here. Come on through, hang out. They got crawfish rocking and rolling. I'm hearing they're pretty dang good. I ain't had them yet, but I'm hearing they're pretty dang good. Clearly the beer is good. Everybody has got a cold one in their hand. The Bud Light girls are here walking around and with a smile on their face, handing out a couple of cold Bud Lights. Good times to be had, man. It's Friday. We're on the front end of this weekend, and let's go ahead and get it started and have us a good time. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light for making it happen. Hey, y'all, Ron Hughley is out. Ron the headshot Hughley is out today.
The headshot.
Yeah, well, headshot. And Chris Partee is in.
Yeah.
You've heard him across the lineup here quite a bit over the last few weeks.
Yeah, really. They've been working, man. I'm here for it.
So he's in for Ron Hughley today. T Mills behind the glass back at the studio on the ones and twos. Tyler is not in the building, y'all. Tyler is not in the building. He can't bring that producer studio with him. He's got to have the buttons. He's got to make sure that we have Dusty Baker on the show, that we have my mom on the show quite a bit. You know,
all them drops.
There you go. Hate to tell you.
Got to have the whole roster ready.
Got to have them, man. Got to have them. But the NBA Finals, game one cranked up last night, and it did not disappoint whatsoever. The Pacers, Indiana Pacers, shocked the hell out of all them folks in Oklahoma City, man. And when they came back in dramatic fashion to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. They beat them 111-110. The final score is not the story. Obviously, the Pacers winning is, but the way in which that the Pacers were able to come back, they literally trailed the entire game until there was 0.3 seconds left in the fourth quarter, y'all. They were down 15 points in the fourth quarter. They rallied back to 6 and got it back to 9, and they got it back to 4, and all of a sudden, boom, it's a one-point ball game, and Halliburton goes down and hits an unbelievably clutch shot with 0.3 seconds left on the clock to give the Indiana Pacers the win in game one. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching that damn game, and it's 0.3 seconds left after Halliburton hit that shot, and I'm expecting everybody to be like, it's over.
But
I'm listening to these commentators, and everybody talking about, oh, they got time to get a shot up. What shot?
Well, What? Technically, according to the NBA, 0.3, you can still get a legal shot off. That is the minimum amount of time. Well, yeah, point
I mean,
three.
No, I get it. I mean, you can get it. You can get one off with point one. I mean, if you just touch it.
They won't count that. They came up with this years ago and said that won't count because it's not. They don't think it's enough time to get that shot off at point one.
So there ain't no sense in even shooting.
Point three, if they throw
it up near to the rim and you just poke it with your finger and it goes in.
Now, they're going to look at it, yeah, but point three is supposed to be that limit right there.
Well, I mean, there's got to be human error in that, right? I mean, the human on the clock, if it's done right, the human on the clock cannot watch you touch the ball, start the clock, and the clock run out.
Yeah.
They're talking about catch the ball and take a shot. I'm thinking,
it's one of those quick, you know.
Well, they did move on. They did move on to say you can't catch the ball with your back to the basket, or you can't catch the ball in the air. It's got to be literally you got to be faced up when you take
pretty
a shot.
Much.
And they tried to throw an alley oop to I think it was
a
Chet Holmgren
or something. Yeah,
to tip it in. But the conversation was just like I was thinking, man,
like are you serious?
Yeah, like it'll take a miracle. What the hell are y'all talking? Y'all acting like this is likely to happen.
I mean, a literal miracle to make that shot.
But here's my question because I think this is we're watching obviously. SGA, we're watching SGA do crazy things. I mean, in the biggest game of his career, he goes out there and takes more shots in the first half than he has in any game in the playoffs so far in the first half. He was a man on a mission, and he was flat getting it done. We're watching him. He's an MVP. Call him the free throw, whatever the hell you want to call him. talk about his mid-range game. Talk however you want. He's a superstar.
We love the mid-range.
I love it, man.
We love it.
He's an MVP. He's carried his team to the finals, possibly. They're my pick to win it all. I mean, he's a superstar. There ain't no doubt about it.
So what's your definition of a superstar, just to piggyback on your question real quick? Like, what's the definition there?
Well, I'm talking about a basketball superstar. I'm not talking about the guy that acts like a superstar and gets paid like a superstar and is treated in Hollywood like a superstar.
Well, no. We're not
when you go
about
out there and you're averaging 30-plus points for a season and you win an MVP and you carry your team to the finals, you're a damn superstar. When you're a guy that's out there, doesn't matter who you're playing, that doesn't matter who you're up against. Doesn't matter what their forte is. You go get your points. You're gonna get your shots. And there's no doubt about it. It don't matter how hot or cold you are. SGA is gonna get his shots.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City, he's a surefire. I think he's a superstar.
Okay.
The question is, where does Halliburton fall on the superstar spectrum or the star? Let's call it the star spectrum,
yeah,
if you will. I do. What brings this to mind is he's in the company of some superstars.
He's in some great company.
The company he's in is this right here: the most go-ahead or game-tying field goals in the final 5 seconds of the fourth quarter overtime. Since 1997 playoffs, LeBron James has 8. Reggie Miller has 5.
Yeah.
Halliburton has 5. He's in some rare company. He's doing some crazy things. He is unbelievably clutch, and I don't know that anybody can deny that at this point. It's been what, 4 or 5 times this
clutch for sure. You can't deny the clutch gene.
You look at Halliburton's numbers. As they're interviewing him last night, I'm looking. He's 6 for 13. He ends up with 14 points. On average in the playoffs, he's averaged 18.5 points. The box score doesn't scream super before star. Star maybe, but super no way.
Halliburton. I mean, but like a lot of guys, Halliburton is one of those guys you have to watch him play. You can't just be the person that goes to the box score and say, okay, he scored 18 points, he had 5 rebounds, he had 7 assists. He's a good player, but is he great? Nah, you kind of got to watch him because what he's done in all these comebacks that the Pacers have had, he did not have a great game last night. He did. Like, if you just look at the numbers, he didn't have a great game.
I mean,
but when
at halftime, Chris. They were all hammering it.
Yeah. Oh, of course
five
they were.
I think he had 5 shots at halftime he put up.
But when it – I think the separation of from good to great players is, are you there when your team needs you? Even if you're having a crappy game, can they depend on you in the clutch when it matters? And I think we've seen that. Now, I don't think he is the Pacers' best player. I think that's Pascal Siakam. I think he's the best, most consistent player they have. But when it comes to maybe the most important – I think Halliburton might be that guy because of what we've seen in this run. And I need to see more than one great run. That's me.
Yeah.
To call a guy a superstar.
Well, to me, you've got to, especially if he's going to do it in this fashion.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not a big box score, stat-driven guy, but you can't average 18 and a half in the playoffs. You can't have 14 and a half, or 14 and a half. You can't have 14 in game one. You did hit a clutch shot.
Yeah.
But you can't have a stat line and stat lines in the postseason that look like that and be a superstar. You can't do it. I don't care how many you win.
You don't. So it doesn't matter to you how many.
Now, when we're talking superstar, to me, you got to be a guy that consistently goes out there. I mean, look, the second best player with the Oklahoma City Thunder is averaging 22. You got 18 and a half.
Yeah.
He's got 4.5. He got 4.5 points on you.
And I'm also a guy, I don't believe there's a ton of superstars in the NBA.
I'm a casual fan, so take it for what it's worth. I think there's
a handful, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think he's one of those yet. Now, if he continues this, even if they win the finals this year, I'm not going to call Halliburton. And I picked them in seven before last night's game.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people that thinks they can win this
series. Are you like the Pacers in seven?
Pacers in seven, yes.
I got OKC in seven. I think we're going to get a hell of a series.
And I do too.
The styles makes fights thing, I know we've used that phrasing a ton here recently. I'm just a big fan. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of watching that game last night. And watching the Pacers come back, using so many different guys, it was Halliburton. Halliburton made the shot, but he wasn't the most valuable player in the fourth quarter of that game.
No,
I mean there were several guys that did more than him and hit huge clutch shots and were consistently better than him. So, yeah, man, it's just fun to watch. Again, put a bow on it, man. The Indiana Pacers beat the Oklahoma City Thunder at their place, 111-110, in dramatic fashion. When Halliburton hit a last-second shot, left 0.3 seconds on the clock,
man.
And Oklahoma City couldn't get a shot off there. So
it's amazing.
Yeah,
really.
Man.
I mean, what he's doing is amazing. And what they've done, they're the number four seed in the East. No one expected the Indiana Pacers to be here.
Yeah.
So what they've done, what they did to the Knicks, they beat the number one seed in Cleveland in five games.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing I've heard in basketball breakdowns, if you will, maybe ever.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember who said it. I think it was Jay Williams, but he was talking about how the Indiana Pacers have weaponized cardio. And I was like, you know, that is tremendous.
The pace they play at?
Yeah. They're just in that much better shape than everybody else that they've weaponized their cardio.
And one thing real quick before we move on. Shout out to Rick Carlisle. I think he's one of the most underrated head coaches in the NBA.
Yeah.
People forget about his run in Dallas and even his run in Detroit before that. So, yeah, shout out to Rick Carlisle. I think they have the better coach in this series, the more experienced coach for sure in this series, do the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Looks like, what is game two, Sunday?
Sunday night.
We got Sunday night game two.
Got a few days here, a couple days here.
We got a lot going on this weekend, man.
The
Astros are in Cleveland.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to circle back to them Astros here pretty quick, but I got a question for the boys. Saw something on social media. Social media is a beautiful thing.
Is it really?
I absolutely love it. I mean, there's times when it's awful, but I'll be honest with you, man. I've got a pretty good way of tuning out the side that just wears people out.
Like, you have to.
I'm pretty good at getting that out of my world.
But you have to do that. Got to filter it.
I saw something on Instagram, and I'm curious. It really got me to thinking. So this old boy, and he's a youngster. It's one of these younger generation things.
Okay.
He's on a job. He's 2 miles into a 5 mile job.
Ooh.
So he's nowhere close to home.
No.
And he's got to take a dump.
Actually, I saw this. I know where you're going with this.
He's got to take a dump. And Tyler, he goes and he knocks on somebody's door and asks if he can use their restroom. And the first guy slams the door in his face. No chance.
What a jerk.
The second guy.
Everybody poops, man.
The second guy actually says, yeah, well, let me go put all my dogs up so you can come in. He goes and puts the dogs up and lets the guy come in so he can take it. And here's the question. If you're sitting on your couch, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, somebody knocks on your door, and it's clear they've been jogging. They ain't running from the police or something. It's clear they're in athletic gear. And this old boy had his headphones on. He had no shirt on. Would you let somebody that knocked on your door and said, hey, man, I'm in the middle of a jog. I'm 2 miles from the crib. Would you let them in your house to take a dump?
Without hesitation. 100%.
No hesitation. You're letting them in.
100%. Come on
Tyler,
in, fella.
You're a good guy.
Get in there.
Tyler, you are a fabulous person. You really are.
I appreciate that, my friend. This does come from, you know, myself, a guy who once let a very intoxicated fellow Aggie just sleep in his living room because he was lost on my street where my rent house was after a night at Northgate. So, yeah, man, get on in here, get that out of you, get that demon out of you. I got a commode you can use.
Man, I don't even answer my phone if I don't somewhat recognize the number.
So you're not opening the door.
And there's family members I won't pick up my phone for. So, no, I'm not opening the door.
I'm torn, man.
Hey, I'm cold with it, Tyler. I'm cold with it.
I'm torn. I'm torn because there was a time I would have to take my kids into consideration. I got two little girls.
That's very fair.
I don't know if I'm letting you in the house. And
my kids will eat your ass if you come in.
Right. Yeah. I would. There was a day when I'd be like, hell yeah, you need extra toilet paper. You like toilet paper. You like dude wipes. Which one you want, man? Which one you want?
Go with the dude wipes.
Yeah, man. I would be. I'm a little torn, and it had to be a pretty clean cut old boy.
I would definitely assess the situation. I would have to assess the situation, but
it would have to be a pretty clean cut old boy right now for me to do it. I'm just gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you're rough around the edges, nah, man. If you look like there may have been a chance that you may have killed somebody in your past just by your appearance, yes, I'm judging. Then maybe you probably ain't getting in.
But Clint, your situation is different. It's not just you that you're worried about.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And even if it is just you, you're still worried about it, but you have a whole family to worry about. So it's a little different.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, I wonder what the video just created a little thought for me, a little food for thought there. What would you do?
It's funny. I mean, I would have to assess the situation.
I tell you what, boy, if I had – put the shoe on the other foot. If you had to take a dump, would you knock on a stranger's door?
I'm going in the bushes.
In the bushes, really?
I'm going in the bushes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tyler, are you knocking on a door? What are you doing?
I think so. I mean, praise be, knock on wood. I haven't had something hit my large intestine so hard yet that I had to. But I'd like to think – I probably would.
That is a bad predicament to be caught in, man.
Right?
I don't know if I'm knocking on a door, though.
If the restroom ain't clean, I'm leaving, though.
I'm going to catch me a stop and go somewhere, man. I'm gonna head to the corner store.
But I mean, if you're out in the middle of nowhere jogging, you're two miles out.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you what I ain't going to be doing.
What?
Jogging out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I wouldn't either, but that's why I have a gym membership.
Clint goes to the gym, but he doesn't wipe off the machine.
Nah, I ain't worried about wiping the machine, but I'm getting it in. Hey, look here. We got to circle back to these Astros, man. We got the lineup. Tonight's lineup is out. So we'll hit that lineup, and we'll talk a little bit about the action that went down last night. Them bats got hot, y'all. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Who's your daddy now? Should I say the Astros?
Live from the Crafty Crab on Fondren Road, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit. Supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
10:02 Eastern Time. And it finishes with a ground ball potentially to short. And this game's over. The Astros win it 8-2. They take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates on the road. Their first road series victory since winning 2 out of 3 against Minnesota in their first series on the road this year.
That's right. The Astros... they take game 3 last night versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh. I said it earlier. Pittsburgh Pirates.
Damn. Pirates.
I got that Aaron Rodgers on my mind. Pittsburgh Pirates played the Astros last night, and they regret it because them Astros whooped that ass.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, man. That was a hell of a game. The headliner last night for the Astros. Sorry about stepping all over your toes right there, Tyler. The headliner for the Astros last night was obviously Framber Valdez. He was absolutely tremendous. He gets his wins his fifth straight decision. 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, and 11 strikeouts, season high on the strikeouts. And look, with Framber Valdez rolling, with big game Hunter Brown doing his thing, and, you know, I don't know how real the Lance McCullers situation is yet. We've seen a large enough sample size. But with those three at the top of the rotation rocking and rolling, man, it's hard to not get excited about the potential with these Astros, man.
Yeah, it really is hard not to get excited about it. And as far as Lance McCullers goes, I mean, especially, you know, coming off the injuries and dealing with what he's dealt with the past month or so with all that craziness and family and everything, you really just hope the best for him. We've seen a little bit from him. His last start played great. But, yeah. You really want this pitching staff to get healthy. The rest of the rotation, I should say.
And look, that's the thing that I think is that's the thing that is going to be different for this year's Astros is I mean, it's been a while since now. I know injuries have obviously created this at times, but I have felt really good about the depth of the Astros starting rotation for a long time. We got to the point where, hey, the playoffs are right around the corner, and you're gonna cut it down to 4 starters, and who are those 4 gonna be? Who's the third? Who's the fourth? Beyond Framber and beyond Verlander, like is Hunter Brown there yet? Spencer Arrighetti yet? You know, it's just the depth has been there to chew through innings throughout the regular season, but when it comes down to it, did you really know who were gonna be your hammers beyond a couple of guys? And I think it's shifted a bit. Obviously, the injuries have taken away the depth that we've become accustomed to here in Houston. But it's hard for me to focus on that, and hard for me to get down and out about that.
Yeah.
When Lance McCullers goes out there in the last 3 games, I mean, what did he strike out? 8, 12, and then 7?
Yeah.
I mean, he struck out 27 in 3 starts. I think that's a number. I think that number's right.
I ain't bad.
I mean, he is, and he's gotten consistently better, locating better, is obviously control better. I think it was his 4th start. You look up and he's throwing his 91st pitch was 94 miles an hour. So the velo that everybody's wondering about seems to be coming back. And then again, back to Framber Valdez last night, man, he was unbelievable. And Hunter Brown's doing his thing in that Cy Young conversation. So it's just hard to think past those three guys. But last night with the Astros jumping all over the not the Steelers, the Pirates, the bats were awfully impressive as well. Framber Valdez's numbers were absolutely ridiculous. I would have led with the bats, but Jeremy Pena once again 3 for 5. He scores 2 times. He's hitting .318 at this point in time. There ain't no way in hell he's letting go of that leadoff spot, man.
He shouldn't.
There's no way he's letting
especially
go of that leadoff
spot. Especially
with
the endorsement from Altuve.
Yeah, no doubt, right? And then you look up and Paredes, 2 for 4, 2 bombs. He's got 14 bombs on the season. I'm not going to get out over my skis on the third base situation right now. I mean, I was a big Bregman fan.
Okay.
But the thought that we could potentially get more production. Now, I'm taking the injury to Bregman into account because yeah, I know Bregman didn't have a typical slow start. Bregman, he went up to Boston and
he was hot.
He came out of the gate swinging.
He was hot.
But I think there's definitely something to watch is at the end of this year, do we end up getting more production out of Paredes than the Boston Red Sox get out of Alex Bregman?
At this point, you would have to think so, right? Where the injuries come into play, as long as Paredes stays healthy,
yeah,
you would have to think so. Yeah. I mean, and he's played well. He's played pretty well.
I mean, he's swinging the bat really well. I mean, he's swinging it as well as anybody. I mean, anybody not named Pena at this point in time.
Wait, 2 home runs last night?
Yeah, 2 bombs. I didn't see the first one, but that second one was a no-doubter, man. It got out of the park in an absolute hurry. As I said earlier, if I were opposing pitchers, I wouldn't throw an inside half of the plate. I mean, if he can pull it, he is a dead pull hitter. He is giving it everything he's got coming out of his shoes.
Inside, that's his zone right there.
No doubt
that's
about
his sweet
it.
Spot.
And Jacob Melton has been good since he was called up, I guess, over the last week or so.
Yeah, about 5 games.
You know, again last night, he's 2 for 4, ends up with 2 RBIs playing that left field. He allowed the Astros to I guess, for lack of better terms, hide Altuve, keep him from having to play left field for two of the three games. And
the experiment.
Yeah, the experiment, right? But the thing is, how clutch was it, right? He didn't just play. I mean, he's out there and he's producing. Giving another left-handed bat option in the lineup. And so the young guys, the guys that you didn't expect to carry the lineup, the guys not named Christian Walker, the guys not named Yordan Alvarez, those guys are swinging the bat really well. I'm jonesing for when the Astros can get those two bats going. Healthy Yordan and Walker going in the middle of this lineup, man, the sky's the limit.
I think with going back to Melton, you just talked about him, I think – if the Astros get consistency out of him at the plate, as long as he's in the lineup, you know, every day, that's what – you can't ask for much more. Just be consistent. Yesterday, 2 for 4, 2 ribbies, you can't ask for much more than that. You really can't.
Right, right. Well, tonight the lineup's out. The Astros are in Cleveland tonight, and first pitch is 6:10. Colton Gordon is on the bump, and Tyler will have his best bets tonight. By the way, he had a rough first half of the week, but I think he got things back on track.
Oh, praise be.
Got things back on track last night, so now's the time to dial in on Tyler's best bets. But in Cleveland tonight, and here is the starting lineup for the Astros. Jeremy Pena leading it off. Isak Paredes is in the 2-hole. Jose Altuve's DH in the 3-hole. Christian Walker at first base in the 4-hole. Jacob Myers in that 5-hole. He's swinging it well. Caratini, get that left-handed bat in there. He's talking about clutch, and has been really good this year. In that 6-hole, Cam Smith, another hit last night.
He did.
Another guy that is exceeding expectations in the 7-hole, Mauricio Dubon. Is I believe in left field, and he is in the 8-hole, and then Brendan Rodgers playing second base is in the nine hole. And as we mentioned, Colton Gordon is on the bump in Cleveland for the Astros. Any thoughts on that lineup? You good with that lineup? Obviously, I'd love to see Yordan Alvarez in there somewhere, but Myers climbing up.
Speaking of Yordan, from what we've heard, the few updates that we've got from the Astros on Yordan. Do you see him back by the All-Star break?
Oh hell, I don't know. Don't get me that.
Don't get you into that.
Like guessing on injuries, and I damn sure don't like guessing on Astros injuries. It seems like every time I feel good about an Astro injury, they end
There's
up on the IL.
It's
a lot worse than it's just a hand. It ain't no big deal, man. He's swinging, hitting off. If he's swinging, hitting off a tee, they've already got imaging. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, it got a fracture in there. What the hell are we doing? Yeah. I don't get into that game with the Astros for damn sure. All right, we got D'Amico Ryans is speaking. He's talking about these wide receivers, y'all. He's putting some big expectations at the feet of a couple of rookie wide receivers. How fragile is the Houston Texans wide receiver room if you really look at it? D'Amico Ryans, what he says, I don't know if it's going to give you warm and fuzzies. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We are supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser, but we are not at the Crafty Crab. We are definitely at Christian's Tailgate, right off Highway 6, right where Highway 6 and I-10 meet right there. You want to head on? We're on the north side of I-10, and when you get off I-10 and you head north, immediately on your right-hand side is where Christian's Tailgate is at. And this is a tremendous establishment. TVs everywhere. The tables have been full damn near the entire show today, so we're rocking and rolling. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light Budweiser for making that happen. I just got me, fellas, a couple of pounds of crawfish. I've settled in here. It took me 10 shows to figure it out, but I've settled in to where the my sweet spot, I eat crawfish fast. My sweet spot is 2 pounds in a break is a breeze. I can get through.
Really?
If I go to 3, I'm in trouble, but I can get to.
Teach me your techniques over here.
Well, I don't know if you're ready for my techniques, but I can teach you.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Reggie just shook his head at me.
I can teach you how to eat crawfish to a point where you can enjoy yourself.
Okay, well,
I'll tell you that.
Let's do that.
I promise. By the way, that voice you hear right there is Chris Partee. He is in for Headshot Hughley. And one third of In the Loop, my man Reginald Atatula, as he always comes out and supports. He is in the building, so I wanted to jump on the mic with us and have a little conversation about these Texans wide receivers. Reg, what's good, man?
Hey, man, I'm excited to be out here. Already got me a couple pounds myself.
As well, you should.
So you've already dug in, huh?
I did it. It's done. It's been a fantastic Friday to this point.
Well, Reg, you know the radio game, right? Typically, we all listen to the audio, and a lot of times the audio is used to prop up or support some kind of topic or conversation that you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, sometimes you listen to audio and D'Amico or some CJ or Wheel or somebody of significance says something and you're like, well, I don't even need to introduce that. I mean, that right there tells the story, right?
Right.
D'Amico's being really good at that. So I come up with this little idea of Texans talking. We're talking about audio. Audio that is birthed. I'm sorry, a segment that is birthed from the audio coming straight out of NRG Stadium.
That's right.
Right?
Yes,
I heard it, and I was like, boom, the people need to hear that right there. Why? Mm-hmm. Yesterday it was the O-line. O-line was one of the biggest topics, obviously, in Texans with the Texans this year. I wanted the people to know, understand from D'Amico, hey, man, how does he feel about what he's seen so far with this offensive line? Right? Today, it is all about the wide receivers. Because I think there's some people out there, and the closer we got to the draft, the more I may have agreed with them a time or two, is the wide receiver position, the wide receiver room was needed to be addressed just as much, pretty close to as much as the offensive line room needed to be addressed. And the Texans did that, right? No Tank Dell, no Steph Diggs. What are they going to do? They go out and draft two guys out of Iowa State, two receivers, Higgins and Noel out of Iowa State. And I'm sure everybody out there is wondering, Reg, like, what the hell's going on with them young receivers? We need them. We're dependent on them. And D'Amico Ryans told us, he caught us up on exactly what's going on with those two young receivers.
From the guys last year, when you look at, I talked about Kalen and Kamari, the cool thing about them is, and I hardly had to coach Kamari because he showed up with just this extreme work ethic, this mindset that he was the best guy out there. So when you get guys and you scout guys who have that mindset, it's a lot easier to work with guys. There's a lot less to work on. There are always a few technical things, but for me, the main thing what I challenge guys on is that mindset to be great. I believe in anything you try to do, if you're going to be good at it, you got to put hard work in. Everybody who has a job and whatever you work to do, whatever you work to serve and your purpose, like, you have to work hard at it to be effective. And that's the same here on the field. So we get guys with the right work ethic, getting better, growing, it's going to be easy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's where I want to go with this. Okay. Is there's no doubt, it's obvious, if you're a Texans fan and you listen or you follow the team, you know that they're dependent on two young wide receivers this year. You got Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, and then you got a bunch of guys. Somebody's got to step up, and they just drafted receivers with two of their top three draft picks this year. When I heard D'Amico Ryans say that, I thought, whoa. I mean, you were just asked about two rookie wide receivers, and you said, well, hell, why can't they do what Kamari Lassiter and Bullock did last year? And my meeting, like, man, that's rare. I mean, we watched Nico Collins. It took Nico Collins 3 years to become Nico Collins.
Yeah.
Right? Hell, Tank Dell wasn't even starting last year. Before he got hurt, he wasn't even starting the first few games. The year before that, it took six games before he got some significant action. Like, it takes guys some time, typically. And when I hear him say, hey, man, it happened last year, I watched Kamari Lassiter be handed a starting job from jump and then go out there and prove my ass dead wrong. He went out there and balled out all year long. It seems to me like those are some lofty Now, I love hearing it from the coach because I trust his evaluation.
For sure.
But, boy, that seems to be aggressive when you're setting expectations for these receivers.
Aggressive on two fronts, right? Because you use the word rare, and that's perfect verbiage to use here because you're talking about it, right? You had two guys who were rookies amongst the defense that had a lot of expectations. And, I mean, obviously they far surpassed them.
Yeah.
But those guys individually surpassed them. Kamari Lassiter with, you know, we talked about the 4.6, 40 and all that. He shut us all up in that regard. And then you talk about Kalen Bullock, who, I mean, he had his you know, fine points that he needed to work on, obviously the deep ball. And I'm sure he has worked hard to try and progress that, and he will continue to do that so that we see a better Kamari Lassiter. But he was fantastic. What was it, 5 takeaways last year for the young man?
Bullock.
But, yeah, those guys, both fantastic in that way. That is far from the norm. Like, that is above expectation to again, set that for another batch of rookies. It's kind of it's lofty, as you said. But I think the other part, and the part that I find to be more interesting in that, the defense is his domain when we talk about D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The part that he puts together. That's the part that I think he knows, not only obviously internally from knowing what it is, but knows it's going to work. He can trust that because it's his. He has hands on that. The offense isn't his. In fact, the offense is entrusted to somebody that he is just meeting for the first time and really getting to know. And so, like, with Kamari, with Kalen, he could be like, yeah, we have high expectations for them because I am actively working with them. There's a level of trust not just in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, but there's a level of trust in what Nick Haley is bringing in, that not only will he have these guys here, but then he's also, on top of that, going to utilize them well. We were talking about, what, five-headed monster last year? And how do you distribute the ball, and how do you handle all these things?
Yeah.
Those are still questions that you're going to have, you know, on top of having an entirely new offense this year.
But is it possible that D'Amico, at this stage, you know, been with the Texans for a few years now, is it possible that he's taking more of an interest in the offense now, having brought in a new offensive coordinator, offensive line coach?
There's no question, but I would couch it, and some people say this is the negative side of it for me, but it's, I think it's real. I would couch it as he's paying more attention to what's going on the offensive side of the football because the last regime failed miserably.
Yeah.
You know, or what he thought was failed mission because he ran him up out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's no doubt. Being at OTAs, I mean, D'Amico's watching. I mean, I watch defense on that end, offense on this end, O line over in the corner, and D'Amico spends 10 minutes watching the O line do individual drills, and then I look up and D'Amico's watching inside run on the offensive end versus a scout team instead of watching his defense work on the opposite end. There's no doubt about it. D'Amico Ryans is locked in and dialed in on what's going on the offensive side of the football, which I think is huge. I've said it a million times. We point fingers a lot of times on, and rightfully so, if guys aren't performing, Bobby Slowick or Chris Strauss, if you're not performing, get the hell up out of here. But when it comes down to it, at some point, we're going to look at D'Amico Ryans and go, hey, man, like, when we're talking about basic communication, when we're talking about, like, the identity, the swarm identity, the physicality that your defense has, like, as a head coach, you got to make sure that you instill that in your entire team.
Yeah.
And I think he's to that point as a head coach where he's spending a lot of time with the offense and is going to do it. I tell you, back to the receivers, Reg, one way that I put it, and I think this makes more sense to me. I could see, and I hope, at least one, if not both, but let's be more reasonable here. One of these two wide receivers, if they can follow in the path, let's call it, of Kalen Bullitt, right? I think that is a reasonable expectation, is for one of those two to follow in that path. When I say that, I mean you're not anointed the starting receiver. You're going to work your way up. You're going to play a lot during the preseason. I remember Kalen Bullock playing a ton when we were at the damn Hall of Fame game right out of the gate. He was playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And showing up and showing out in that fashion. Now, I could see one of the two guys doing that and becoming a starter.
Okay.
Right? But the Lassiter of, like, hey, this is my guy, get in there.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Now, look, I'm not going to question D'Amico if he does it. Because last time I questioned him, I was dead wrong. I was the donkey.
Lot of doubts about Lassiter, as far as coming right in.
I had doubts about any corner after watching Stingley kind of meander for a couple of years, and I had any doubt a second round corner coming in and just being handed the keys to the starting spot.
Yeah,
we had never seen this organization do it. In fact, they've over preached competition, and then you hand that kid a spot. And I'm like. And then you watch him. I don't care what anybody says. You watch Kamari Lassiter, even the Kamari Lassiter fans. If you watch him, he doesn't run as smooth and as loose as most starting corners that just take the league by storm when they get there. He's a stiffer, more physical corner.
Yeah.
And I think he's very cerebral. Mm-hmm. He's got great instincts. Yep. So he knows how to not get himself in trouble based on his limitations, and so does D'Amico. So I don't think it was like what I saw and what some other people saw was wrong, other than I was dead ass wrong, and it didn't keep me from playing outside corner.
No, right? Exactly.
I thought it was going to be, hey man, that's on an island outside. Ooh, that's in the league. Ooh, that's rough. No, it wasn't. I mean, he went. It didn't just prove me wrong. He passed with flying colors. Now I still they messed around and let me see him play the nickel position later in the season. It was week 13, 14.
Right.
I'm still not sure that with his physicality and with his instincts and his cover ability, I'm still not sure that the best spot for him in terms of impacting the game the most isn't inside.
Really?
Yeah. I'm still not sure that's the case. But he can play both. We've seen him play both. We've seen D'Amico Ryans play him in both positions. That is a tough comp for me with any rookies coming in. What he did was rare, man. So we'll see. I hope D'Amico is right on these wide receivers because we need them. We need him big time.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you do, but I think it'd be also be really cool if you didn't need them in that big time way. Like, obviously, if they're capable of doing it, fantastic. Yeah. But it'd be really cool if you have a run game that's substantial enough to handle up, and then you look up and you go, then Nico Collins, then Christian Kirk, and then, man, what's left over after that with some of these other guys? Getting Joe Mixon maybe more involved in the pass game between Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover, Brevin Jordan, whatever, whoever gets a piece. Yeah. And then, you know, Jaden Higgins and Noel picking up things as well. Like, that's a lot of people that we're talking about. If your game is strong enough where some of the two guys that you talk about as actual superstars alongside C.J. Stroud on the offense are doing a lot of things, it'd be kind of nice if it's like, hey, you guys are actually not having to carry the load necessarily, but you guys are adding in on what's an avalanche.
Well, that is a great point. All right, fellas, that's a great point of just because I not purpose. And a lot of people think I do it on purpose, but like Dalton Schultz and can he be the guy that he's capable of being with this offense? The run game you mentioned. I'm at a point really since I've been here with the Texans of like. I'm just hoping for a complimentary run game, you know, just something that, hey man, don't let the defense just completely bail out and take CJ out of the game. Let's be complimentary kind of deal. But you're right, you get that thing rolling with this new look offensive line with Cole Popovich, and that's maybe their strong suit versus leaning so heavily into pass protecting. You get that rolling, man. That's an absolute game changer. All right, Reg, I appreciate you jumping in with us, man.
Sure.
Everybody out there, make sure you stay plugged in to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610, 10 to 2 every single day, Monday through Friday. And follow my man, Reginald Attitulo, on all the socials, man. He keeps it rolling there as well. So appreciate you joining us, my man.
For sure, man. Appreciate you.
Reg.
5 o'clock fire. 5 o'clock fire is next. But before we do that, I got to tell you about them cold Coors Lights, y'all. Yeah, there he is.
Damn.
See what happens when you mention that cold Coors. Oh, that was Reggie. I thought it was for them cold Coors Lights. That was for Reggie.